Hey, I gotta say, the Holy Spirit is good because, well, lots of reasons. But one thing, I was inspired right before this chapel to do something by a few conversations I've had with you. So I want you to start simply, all of you. I get the sense that perhaps, even though we're only in the second or third week of school, we're feeling like maybe it's the 10th week. So I want everybody just to close your eyes and take a deep breath. That was good. I actually heard some of you breathing. Breathe in again. Breathe in really deeply and out. And I want you to simply repeat after me. Be still and know that I am God. God, we ask that you will quiet us in these moments. For the next few minutes, God, will you quiet our minds and our hearts? Will you take our anxieties and our worries? May you fill us up with your Spirit. We pray this all through Christ. Amen. Holy Spirit is also good because one of the lines from that song is, I want to gaze upon your beauty, Lord. I want to dwell with you forever. I want to dwell with you forever. And I think that is the hunger and longing of a lot of us. And the good news is that God has something to say to us about that today from his word. Now, if you've been here with us in chapel this year, you know that we're preaching through the Gospel of Mark. And this semester, we have noted that we, in this very beginning, we're kind of at this hinge point in the gospel. Whereas the first part of the Gospel of Mark was about the identity of Jesus. Jesus as King. Jesus as Messiah. And as we're shifting into the second part of Mark, we're looking at the purpose of Jesus. And what we're seeing here in this hinge point is that there's actually some confusion for those who are spending a lot of time with Jesus. They had maybe started to figure out what his identity was as King, but then that conjured up an imagination of them of what it meant to be a king. And then he goes, as we heard Trink preach on Sunday night, he goes and tells them that he needs to die. Well, that doesn't make sense. This morning's story comes right after that, and then Peter rebukes him. And then this morning's story from the Gospel of Mark comes from Mark chapter 9. This is right after that moment where Jesus identifies his purpose more clearly. And the disciples say, no, no, that can't be. So listen to the word of God from the Gospel of Mark. Now, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and he led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared with him Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say because they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, only Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I love this story for a couple reasons. One, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. There is a lot going on in this little story, right? You got Jesus going up to the mountain with his disciples, and then all of a sudden, he's transfigured in this way that he's dazzling white. The Greek word there indicates such a brightness that you can't look at it. You know, like when you've got snow like we got and the sun actually comes out and you almost can't like see it. And then they're up there, and Moses and Elijah show up, who have been dead for a long time. And they're just talking with Jesus. And the disciples, it says they're terrified, which I'm so appreciative of, that it's not just like, you know, it was just like no big deal, the disciples. Like, totally made sense. Why not, Elijah and Moses? But they were terrified, and Peter says, hey, you know what? Let's be here. This is a good place for us to be. And then you got God coming and talking to him from the clouds. There's a lot going on. There's a lot when I read this story that leads me to question and wonder. And one thing I love it is we read on, and I encourage you to read on later today. You see the disciples walk down from the mountain with lots of questions, lots of things to wonder about. One thing that might be harder for us to appreciate is, as we read it, is the layers of things that would have been familiar to those who are very familiar with the Jewish scriptures. Why Moses and Elijah? Well, that would have conjured up the stories of when Moses and Elijah went up to the mountain to encounter God. This voice from a cloud, dwellings, tents. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they set up tents for themselves to dwell in. Now, the second reason I like this story is because I remember very, very clearly the first time I heard it, or at least the first time I remember hearing it. I was in high school, and I was on a backpacking trip. And I was out in Colorado, and I had just climbed my first ever 14er, which is a peak that's above 14,000 feet. That's high. And I just remember sitting on that mountain, the highest I had ever been up in my entire life, and looking out and seeing such a vast expanse. And I remember never in my life feeling so small. And yet at the same time, never in my life feeling so loved. It was mysterious to me that I was this small creature in all of this creation, yet knew that God loved me so deeply. God met me up on that mountain. And maybe some of you have had similar mountaintop experiences, or, I don't know, mission trip highs. You know, you come back, you're going to sell all your clothes, you're going to give away all your stuff because you just want it to be like it was when you were wherever you were. Or you come back from a church retreat and you are more than ever convicted that I am going to read my Bible every day. I want to dwell with God forever. I'm going to do this. And it doesn't take you long to realize that it's not the same here as it was on top of the mountain. But here's the thing, and we see it in the scriptures, and it was something that was shared with me when I was in high school. We are not meant to live on the mountain. God leads them down from the mountain. Oswald Chambers says it well in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. We are brought to the mountain to see God's glory, but we don't live for God's glory at the mountain. We do so in the valley. And I think many of us need to understand this because I think a lot of us spend time trying to get back to the mountain, trying to recreate that experience, trying to live off that high from the mission trip or the church retreat, or whatever it is. And those moments are great, but they're for a space. And we see that happens to the disciples here on the mountain too. God leads them down from the mountain into the valley. And what Oswald Chambers says the mountaintop does for us, I thought this was great. He says, the mountaintop is not meant to teach us anything. It's meant to make us something. It's meant to shape our character. It's meant to change who we are. And I think what happened to the disciples on that mountain, one of the things that perhaps happened, is they got a clearer sense of what it meant to follow Jesus on the way. God comes from the cloud and says, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him if it sounds exactly the opposite of what you think it's he's supposed to say. Listen to him when he calls you to follow him back down this mountain and not set up a dwelling to be here forever. Listen to him as you follow him. And I think that's the same call for us today. Rabbi Abraham Heschel says this, that God, if God is everywhere, God can't be only somewhere. God is everywhere. God is a God of time, not just a God of space. We just don't go to certain places to meet God, but our challenge is to start to see God in the day-to-day moments. So as you leave this space today, go knowing that Jesus goes before you, Jesus goes with you. Jesus isn't trying to call you back to the mountaintop, but to help you learn to live faithfully in the valley. Let's pray. God, we thank you that when you make promises, you keep them. And so we cling to your promise that you go with us, that you go before us, that you take us. We don't take you. So take us into this day, God. And as a community, continue to transform us to be people who can see you in the seemingly ordinary and mundane moments of life. Make us attentive to your spirit today. We pray this all through Christ, and all of hope said, Amen.